Circles back to Psalm 121 again. Psalm 121. If you're able, let's stand together. We'll read the word together. Pray first, then we'll read the word together. Brother Philip, would you lead us in a word of prayer before we pray or read? Amen. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keeps thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. Please be seated. This afternoon, as we have kind of walked through this entire psalm, we see that the reality is our journey in life is perilous. Our feet could slip. He says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. That means our foot could move. Our foot could slip in the way. The sun can scorch, the night can be treacherous, evil seeks to destroy our lives, our testimony, our families, and the church. Our lives are fragile, but we have a life to live. We have a journey to go on, a pilgrimage to make through this life, but God is not only our maker, but he is our helper. Amen. The one who has created us has also saved us. And the one who has both made us and saved us wants to sustain us, sanctify us, and help us in the way. And as we talked about this morning, he is both able and willing to walk with us. We want to lift up our eyes to the Lord. We want to find help today and every day. So just want to look at a couple of practicalities today. The psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. I will lift up my eyes. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So practically, how do we do that? And it's just two very simple things this afternoon. First of all, we have to humble ourselves. If I'm not going to look into me, or if I'm not going to look around to others, if I'm going to look up, I first have to be brought low. Amen. You guys are mostly familiar, I'm sure, with James chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God gives more grace. God resists the proud. And we, listen, all of us struggle with pride. It is core to our nature, our carnal nature, our flesh, and our carnal mind to be proud, to think more of ourselves than we ought to think. But God resists that. And listen, I got enough trouble in my life all by myself without God being against me. I don't need God. I don't need to put myself in a position where God is resisting me, where God is actively fighting against me. I don't want to fight against God. And the only way for me to avoid that is to humble myself. I've got to bring myself low. And he says that he gives grace to the humble. So what do we do because of that? Therefore, submit yourselves to God. I've got to yield myself to him. I got to lay myself low so that he can lift me up high. I've got to submit myself to God. I've got to put myself, this idea of submission is to put yourself under. I'm going to put myself under God. I'm going to understand that he is high and I am low. He is great. Amen. and I am not. Amen. That He is all knowing, and I barely know anything. And I'm gonna put myself and put myself down before God. I'm gonna resist the devil. I'm not gonna give in to his desires. I'm not gonna just always go along with what he says, but I'm gonna constantly fight to resist against him. And I love verse 8. Draw nigh, or draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Is he a God that's afar off? No, listen, he is high and lifted up and high above. He is the most high God, and yet he has made himself near to us. And it's really an awesome thing to think about. I remember hearing a story a long, long time ago. There was a young man who had lost his eyesight. And he was very angry and very bitter, and his family had tried so hard to help him kind of come out of that. And one day, his dad gave him a project that he expected him to get done while he was at work. And of course, this young man had lost his eyesight, and he was very angry and bitter that his dad would try to expect him to do something. And so he got up, and he stumbled and fumbled and bumbled around, and he was angry and basically cursing his dad all day as he tried to do this project. And yet, through it all, he ended up doing it. What that young man didn't know was that his dad was right there with him all day. He couldn't see him, but his dad never left his side. He was there watching over him to keep him safe and to be there to rescue him if he needed it. But he let that young man fight through the day and do what he had asked him to do. And he was able to do it. And it changed his life. It changed his perspective. You know, sometimes we don't feel God's presence, and certainly we can't see God with these eyes, but we see him by faith. Amen. And he is always there with us. You know, it's been said 1,000 times, it only takes a step to go back to God, right? Amen. You just turn around, he's there. Amen. You've been going away from him. If you've got unconfessed or unrepentant sin, you are resisting God rather than resisting the devil. But if you just turn around, he's right there. Amen. He's right there. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We want to live our lives with clean hands. That means that when we do wrong, we have to get right with the Lord. We want to purify our hearts. We want to get our hearts and minds. We separate our heart and our mind in our thinking today. That's just kind of our Western thinking. The Bible uses these terms interchangeably. Your heart and your mind, it's the innermost part of your being. It's all connected. Your heart and your mind are all connected biblically. And he's like, purify that. How do you do that? Well, you repent. You get right with him. And you cleanse yourself through his word. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Why? Why should we be afflicted and mourn and weep? Because we fail him. Because we fall short. Because we sin every day. Because we are people of unclean lips. And we live among a people of unclean lips. And we need his forgiveness and grace. And so we repent. We mourn over our sin. And when we do that and humble ourselves in his sight, he will lift us up. And notice this. He wants you to humble yourself. That means that I have control over whether I'm humble before God or not. Now, you, those of you who have been saved for more than 5 minutes know this. You can humble yourself. Amen. Right? Or God can do it for you. Amen. Brother Philip, I appreciate your social media posts. They're convicting to me and humbling to me. But Brother Philip made a post the other day about things that he had gone through and all his surgeries and all those things. And listen, God will humble you. Amen. Now, do I know that all the things you went through were just because God wanted to humble you? I have no idea, but I know that God did. I want you to know that you can humble yourself before God, and when you do, he will lift you up. And I don't know if that encourages you this afternoon, but I love this. He shall lift you up. Amen. Like, you can try to pick yourself up. You can try to put yourself up. You can try to gain your own ground. But if you just humble yourself, then he picks you up. And how much better is that than anything you can do on your own? So humble yourself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. This must be a truth God wants us to get, right? The Holy Spirit instructed James to write this. He instructs Peter to write the exact same thing. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Same thing. He will lift you up. But I want you to get this. How many of you older folks can say amen to you younger, submit yourselves to the elder? Amen. Right? We love that, don't we? You young whippersnappers better respect your elders. Submit yourselves. Put yourself below. Be respectful. And by the way, I think that's something that our society has lost. Amen. Just general respect for older people. Amen. And it's a good thing and it's a biblical thing, but here's the part that we might not like. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. So in the first place, he says, younger people, you ought to submit yourselves to older people. You ought to respect them and put yourselves under them because they are older and because they are wiser and because that's the order that God has set us in. But then he turns around and says, all of you be subject one to another. The younger to the older to the younger. The women to the men to the women. Like everybody be subject one to another. What does it mean? It means that I should put everyone else ahead of myself. Now, why in the world would I do that? Because it's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Amen. How could people have that attitude? How could I put so-and-so ahead of me? Well, Jesus put you ahead of him. Amen. His condescension is beyond comprehension. How high Jesus Christ is and how low he made himself. Amen. Humble yourself. Psalm 95 and verse 6. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. This concept of worshiping and bowing down and kneeling is something that seems to have come up a lot. We've discussed this several times in our men's Bible study and different discussions that I've had over the past several months. We need to humble ourselves before God. And I want you to hear this. It's possible that you could maybe during an invitation time walk down the aisle and get on your hands and knees before God and not really be humble in your heart. That's true. That could happen. It's also very true that it is a natural response when you are broken before God to bow down before him. Amen. I read about it through the Bible where men bowed their faces to the ground. They kneeled before the Lord, their Maker. They were broken in their hearts and their spirits. Therefore, it was reflected in their posture. Amen. If we are in a place as a church where we cannot kneel down before God, we cannot bow with our faces to the earth, that we cannot worship. That word worship literally means to bow down. It's to ascribe worth to. It is to bring low. If we are too proud to fall down before God, we might have a pride problem. Humbling ourselves before God, it's not for an outward show. I'm not trying to say we ought to be like the Pharisees and do something so that other people think we're spiritual. I think that's a dangerous place to be. But I think that for most of us in our church, we're in the other ditch where we want to stand up and seem like everything's fine when maybe we ought to be bowing down before God. But sometimes we're hesitant to do that because we're worried about what everybody else might think. So let me just encourage you. Humble yourself. And don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Sometimes I feel compelled to kneel in the altar. And I'm just like anybody else. You kind of think sometimes, what's everybody going to think? But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not too worried about you guys thinking I'm a sinner because I figure you already know. Oh no, what if they know I'm a sinner? We're all sinners. Amen. And before I can lift my eyes up to God, I have to bring myself low. Humble yourself is number one. Number two, look up. Look up. Listen. In sincere faith and desire, in sincere faith and desire, through prayer with thanksgiving and praise, In the Word, I look to God. In sincere faith and desire. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are, what's it say? Above. Above. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If I humble myself before God, I put myself in a position where I can look up to Him. And I see that progression in the Bible. We've been studying the men's Bible study in Nehemiah for a while, and there was a time when they brought out the Word of God and they all bowed down before Him, and then they stood up to praise. Like, it starts with humbling yourself, but it ends with lifting up your eyes, lifting up your hands, lifting up your hearts, worshiping Him. So we humble ourselves, then He picks us up, and we get to rejoice in Him, and now we're looking up to Him. And this is a song of praise. So look to Him. Lift up your eyes to where your help comes from. It's in sincere faith. If ye then be risen with Christ. So this afternoon, are you risen with Christ? We talked about this in our Sunday school class. There's some things where the tense in the Bible doesn't really match up. We read from Isaiah 53. It says that He was bruised for our iniquities, past tense. Well, when Isaiah wrote that, it was hundreds of years before Jesus would go to the cross. But he uses past tense because it's as good as done. Amen. And we read in the New Testament that in the present tense, we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Like present tense, we're in heaven with Jesus. Amen. How can he use that tense? Because we're not there yet. That's future for us. But it's as good as done. Amen. Because the promises of God are yes and amen. And so if ye then be risen with Christ, I'm still in this fleshly body. I still got this carnal mind. I'm still here in this sin-cursed world. But it's as good as done. I am risen with Christ. And how does that happen? How do you become risen with Christ? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's if you repent and believe the gospel, you call on His name with the heart. Man believeth with the mouth, confession is made. Like, we get all that, right? Amen. And when you got saved, it's as good as done. So in sincere faith and desire. Here he talks about seeking the things that are above, setting your affections on things above. Our desire should be to the things of God. Why would I look to the hills? Why would I look to my helper? Because I want to know Him. Because I want to seek His face. I ought to have a desire towards Him and not have a desire to the things of the earth. So with insincere faith and desire, through prayer with thanksgiving and praise. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I'm pretty excited to be able to say 6 and 7 and not have all the kids go like this. I was so ready for that to be over. Here in verse 6, he says, be careful. Can anybody tell me what that word careful means? Anxious? Cautious? Okay. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As I look up, I do it through prayer. I'm going to let go of my anxiety, and in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I'm going to look to God. How am I going to look to the hills? Like, is it literal? Like, I'm going to get on Google and I'm going to Google a picture of Mount Zion and I'm just going to look at the mountains? Like, is that what we're talking about? I'm going to get to a vantage point where I can look across the valley and see Kavanaugh Mountain. Like, I'm looking to the hills. Like, is that what we're talking about? No, we're talking about our hearts. We're talking about our actions. We're talking about what we're actually doing. So what am I doing? Well, I'm going to humble myself, and then I'm going to look to Him because I believe in Him and I want to know Him. So I'm going to look to Him through prayer. Amen. I'm going to cry out to Him. I want to know Him. At camp, I told you, Brother Tim and I kind of tag team and taught the young men. And we talked a little bit about the importance of communication and having meaningful conversations. Do any of you have a close relationship with anybody on the planet? Like who? Huh? You got a closer... Do you ever talk to your wife? Occasionally. If you have a lot of good conversations with your wife, does that improve your relationship? Okay. And if you go for a long time without talking to her, does that help the relationship?
That's usually how I know she's mad.
Okay. This is an indication that things aren't so great in the relationship. Who else has a close relationship with somebody? Tell me people you have close relationships with.
My mom.
Your mom?
My son.
Your son? I know all of you married people are like my spouse. Your sister? So we have mom, maybe dad, grandma, grandpa, our wife or our husband, our children, our siblings, our friends. I've had really close relationships with some people in my life. And those people, when my relationship was close with them, we had a lot of communication. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I've had some friends that I was very close to at times, but then somewhere along the way, our communication started slipping. Somebody I used to talk to every week. I wouldn't go a week without talking to them. Now it's months or even years before I talk to them. Our relationship isn't what it used to be. That makes sense to you? Well, if I want to look up to God, if I want to get close to God, I've got to have communication with Him. I have to have meaningful communication with God. There's got to be some sending and receiving of information. Now, I'm going to send information through prayer, and He's going to respond through His Word and through His Holy Spirit. But I've got to have communication with God if I want to look to Him. I've got to talk to Him. So in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, talk to God. Be close to God, and He will give you peace that passes understanding, that keeps your hearts and minds. So it's in sincere faith and desire. It's through prayer with thanksgiving and praise. And again, it has to be in the Word. I send information through prayer. I receive information through the Holy Spirit, to be sure, but primarily through His Word. Look at Psalm 138, Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2. David says, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. How valuable is the word of God to you? Listen, if you want to see God, if you want to look up, lift up your eyes to the hills, if you want to look to where your help comes from, it's not in a building on a mountain in Israel. It's right here in the Word of God that He is given by His Holy Spirit, preserved by His great power, and He illuminates for us through His Spirit. When you pray and you look into the Holy Word of God, God Himself will speak to you through His Word. Amen. A couple of our young men shared this with us in our teen camp group. You know, you can hear this your whole life, that this is God's Word, right? It's not just a collection of books. It's not just something about God. It's actually the Word of God. Amen. It's cool, though, when it goes from just somebody telling you that to when you experience it. And a couple of our young men kind of testified, shared with us at camp this week that really they felt like for the first time they heard God's word as though it was the word of God. Amen. And maybe that's weird to you, but maybe you just can't remember. But there was a time when it went from just being a book that was good stuff and how to live to where God spoke to you through His word.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what all of us desperately need.
Right.
It's always good. It's always true.
Amen.
It's always helpful.
Amen.
But it is life transforming.
Amen.
When God speaks to you through His word, when you read this book and you know God has spoken to you.
Amen.
That happens when you look to the hills from for to see God. He is the one who helps us. And I pray that we can faithfully every day humble ourselves and look to him. When I say look up, I'm talking about looking to God. And the main way we do that is through his word, that he is exalted. He has lifted up his word. So let's treat it like it's the very word of God.
Amen.
Because it's the very word of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather this afternoon and to sing your praises and to look into the word. And I pray that maybe some of these practical things will help us, encourage us, remind us, and just give us the motivation we need to be faithful, to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily, to humble ourselves before you, that you would lift us up so that we can rise up with thanksgiving and praise and glorify your holy name. Help us to look to you every day. Our eyes are upon thee. Lord, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your mercy. We need your forgiveness. We need your love. All that you are, we desperately need. We're nothing without you. But we can do all things through Christ, and I pray that you'll help us to just follow your truth, to love you above all things, and that we would look to you every moment of every day. Please bless, forgive, and help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.